Amen. I'm going to start reading here in Romans chapter 10 and verse 6. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, say not in thy heart, who shall ascend unto heaven, or that is, to bring Christ down from above, or who shall descend into the deep, that is, to bring Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Praise God. All right, I have my notes that I have preached previously on this topic. We're speaking on the topic of what? Changing your world. Changing your world. And we're in a subtopic called Entering a Strong Man's House. All right, now as we look at this, know that this is your season for manifestation. That every struggle in your life ends tonight. I don't care. Some people looked at you as a nuisance. Well, they're not going to look at you like that anymore. You know, the church is no longer going to be parasitic. We're going to be the ones that are going to be doling out, helping other people. Say amen to that. So, things are going to happen. This 2012, it's the year of harvest, the year of government. It's a year that you're going to see some wonderful, spectacular things happening in the church. All right. Now, as we look at this, I'd like you to go now to Mark chapter 3. Mark chapter 3. This is Changing Your World, part 11. Mark chapter 3. Over in Mark's Gospel, chapter 3, he makes a statement, he says, no man can enter, verse 27. No man can enter into a strong man's house and spoil his goods except he first bind the strong man. Then he will spoil his house. Binding that strong man. The devil is the father of the world. He is the one that created and architect of the world system that you and I see out here right now. And basically, we look at it as a Babylonian enterprise. And what happened was, of course, Adam was given, and Eve were given dominion over this earth. And Adam now is, that Adam and Eve being tempted of the devil, sinned. And as a result of that sin in their life, they lost some things. One thing they lost is their direct relationship with God. God would come down each day and be able to relate to Adam and teach Adam and so forth and so on. They lost also the relationship with one another, a harmonious relationship. God's began to say a part of the curse is that he was going to rule over you and so forth and so on. And these things weren't to be a part of that husband, and he shall rule over you, so forth and so on. And I taught this on Sunday, marriage and family, what that meant. And then also he lost the marketplace, meaning that he lost his control over that marketplace, whether it be education, whether it be government, whether it be business. He lost that. Satan took it. And we see some proof of that over in Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. Could you turn over that with me? Now, this is when the enemy has now tempting Jesus, because Jesus came to get it all back. came to get it all back. Look what it says here in Luke chapter 4 and verse 5. And the devil taketh him up to a high mountain, showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said to him, all this power will I give you in the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will give it. So Adam actually did commit high treason and gave over all of that to the enemy. He said, if, verse 7, if thou therefore will worship me, all will be thine. And Jesus answered and said, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. And he used the word of God. Now, but nevertheless, Satan had it. And the Bible talks about the pervasive effect that Satan had on this world and everybody in it. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, please. 1 John chapter 5. 1 John chapter 5. All right, in 1 John chapter 5, he says in verse 19, and we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness. I want to give you a translation out of another Bible translation that I got that might help this statement and bring a little bit more clarity to it. He says, the whole world lieth under the control of the evil one. The whole world lieth under the control of the evil one. I want you to see that, because that's very, very important. Let's look at another one. Let's look at Revelation chapter 12, please. Now, just trying to let you see that even when people don't think Satan is controlling them, he's controlling them. Now, I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about people who don't know the same God that you know. All right, look what it says here in verse 9 of Revelation chapter 12. And that great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth how much of the world? The whole world. The whole world. And this is the enemy's MO. He comes with one deception. So he's deception. And if somebody could catch it, if somebody could see his deception without God, then he couldn't deceive them. But without God and his word and the spirit of God, a spirit of truth, a person can't see his deception. I put down another statement that you might want to remember. The world cannot control their imagination without God. They cannot control their imagination without God. And for you to try to discern between one voice and the other, you don't have God, you can't do it. So what the world did, what Satan did, of course, after this thing with Eve, now he goes in and he starts to take over. And the first thing you saw was Cain killed Abel. So come on back here to Genesis in chapter 11, please. Genesis chapter 11. And over in Genesis chapter 11, he talks about, you start there reading. Let's start reading. Well, I don't want to read all the way back here. Well, let's read in Genesis chapter 10 and look at verse 8. And I'll start reading. And Cush begat Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth, and he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was what? Babel. All right? So now he raises up himself as a self-proclaimed leader. Now, I'm going to go back because I'm going to talk about the blessing in just a minute. But he raises himself up And really, that's when you saw first conflict come in the earth. It says before the Lord. It means the Hebrew of translation of that is against the Lord. So Nimrod was the first leader that's raised up with an army against the Lord. So now these people are without God. And Genesis chapter 11 says, and the verse 1, and the whole earth was one language and one speech. And it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found in the plain of the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly. And they had brick for stone, slime they had for mortar, and said, go to and let us build us a what? City and a what? Tower, whose top may reach unto heaven. And let us make us a name, lest we be scattered abroad upon the face of the whole earth. And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower, which the children of men builded. Now they were building this without God. And the Lord said, behold, the people is one, and they have all one language, and this they begin to do. Now nothing will be restrained from them what they had imagined to do. So that's how powerful the human imagination is. And God made it like that. Now, this Babel, we call it Babylonian system, is a system, again, trying to indeed function without God. Now, I'd like to read something that I got down here. I looked up the word communism. Communism. And here's what it said about it. It's not in the Webster 1828 dictionary. It's not in there. The word wasn't invented. But look in the Webster dictionary, the modern day dictionary, the collegiate dictionary, it was in there. It said a theory or system of social organization based on the holding of all property in common, actual ownership being ascribed to the community as a whole or to the state. It's a system of social organization in which all economic and social activities are controlled by a totalitarian state dominated by a single and self-perpetuating political party. So the Communist Party, holding all ownership of everything. Got it? Now, why am I reading you this? Because we use the word communion, sharing. And you've heard of a community called a commune. Have you ever heard of that before? Okay. All right. Now, the idea about this is they're doing this without God. The communists wouldn't allow a Bible to come across that line. Got it? Now, what is he saying here? He is saying you can't have anything for yourself, but everything you have belongs to this political body or this governing ruling party. And what we do is we parcel out yours and yours to make sure that everybody can get a little bit. Got it? But meantime, there is no God. So there's no God in this. What they're doing is trying to take care of people without God. And this is a system that they came up to do it with. Well, it doesn't last. Because all of that, Satan can't produce anything that will last. Now, I know what people have done. They've taken Acts chapter 1, talk about they had all things in common. And we've gotten folks to say, well, the rich are not supposed to have anything. So let me take theirs and I'm going to give it to some of these people out here. As a matter of fact, I'm going to make a law to do it. Well, how about the man? Jesus said the man gave one man 5 talents, another 2 talents, another 1 talent. As they had ability to handle it. And the man with 5 talents doubled his, the man with 2 talents doubled his, the man with 1 talent didn't do anything, so he took it from him and gave it to the man that had the most. Now explain that. I'm only saying this because you're dealing with a political thinking that they can rob some people who've got something and give it to these people who don't have anything, pitting the rich against the poor. Why? Doing that because there's no God in it. There's no God in it. Now, true enough, there are greedy, rich people who have used people and gotten this wealth. But God still hates robbery. It's in the book. I taught it in Vengeance and Recompense. Got it? So one of the things that he does with us is that we manage a different way. That we have on us something called the blessing. The blessing. Now, let's start in this. Let's look at this, because I'm watching what's happening in this politics. And this is a nasty thing trying to happen. And see, it's only happening because the saints don't know any better. But I'm going to do my part to inform you. Say amen to that. The enemy has tried to misinform the church, and he's tried to have the church, and I want to read you one other definition here called socialism, all right? Because it's all isms, all right? So what does he do here? He takes the church and, glory to God, you better show yourself, because I ain't leaving without you. I just had that. The church. Wait a minute. Oh, here it is. He has attempted. See, let me lay it on you. The enemy has tried to make people feel, i.e. mainly pastors, feel that if they preach truth, the people will get upset at them and won't come back to their church. So they've taken it and watered it all the way down. Meanwhile, in California, I'm gonna lay it out there because I'm talking about going into a strong man's house. They have, I guess, just passed the law where the books containing Adam and Steve are now to be taught at the first grade level in the public schools. Now you look that up and make sure I'm right. Now I'm not issues minded. This is not what I'm on. I'm not on some kind of bashing somebody. I'm not on that. I'm on this book. And this earth doesn't belong to Satan. Whatever he has now, he has stolen. He is holding it illegally. And we, the church, cannot afford anymore to compromise what God has spoken in his word. Amen. He said in Luke chapter 19 to Zacchaeus that the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. Amen. One of the main things that was lost is the image of God. Amen. A person who is from God needs to know the image of God. They need to know that one they are forgiven. Not perfect in their actions, but they're perfect according to God looking through the blood. That if the church remains silent, then the enemy will take as much ground as he can take, because the world doesn't know any better. They've been deceived. So it's up to the church to mobilize. It's up to the church to send out evangelists. It's up to us. We can't sit and wait on the government. The government has been infiltrated with people who don't know God. And they got you choosing between one party or the other. Not choosing between one man or the other. One party. Either you take this or you take that. God is the judge. Why is he the judge? Because he alone decides who wins or who loses. And you and I have been sent in this earth to fix this earth. That is the power of the anointing or the blessing that is on our lives. Anything that's out of line with heaven, we can bring it back in line. Now, as I was looking at this morning, if I get a little loud, y'all just bear with me. Satan has attempted to render the church ineffective, impoverished, insignificant, obsolete, incompetent, irrelevant, no voice, no influence, and the people waiting on the government for a handout. You and I comprise the strongest institution that's ever hit the face of the earth. When a child of God shows up and knows who he or her is, devils will tremble, demons will bow, you'll see witches shut up. I'm telling you, it's time for the church to come back to being who we are. Say amen to that. Now, you are not fighting an intellectual devil. So don't think your degree from Harvard, Yale, Princeton, Stanford, University of Chicago, Northwestern, or Triton is going to get you out of this. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. None of them. You're fighting a devil that will only move by power. Moses was raised in the court of Pharaoh. He was raised in that palace. He had known things. Smart man. But God sent him back down there, not with an army of 40,000 soldiers. He sent him down there with a stick. He said, "You take this stick, and the rod in your hand shall do miracles." And I'm telling you, it's time for the church to get back to the miracle working power of Almighty God. Power of the Holy Ghost to convict a man in a way that he'll fall to his knees. Now, this is a long ways from religion. Because religion kills folks. The KKK got religion. That's why they burn a cross. We're not talking about religion, we're talking about life. So now we, the church, is coming up to a place where God is counting on us. He does not plan to do it without us. And Ephesians 6 and verse 11, he said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against what? The wiles of the devil. Lord have mercy. He said, for we wrestle not against what? Flesh and blood. Come on now. Against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, Jesus was our example. Now, as we come back to this whole thing, because we got to get our identity back. Amen. The church has to understand that, wait a minute, we need to know who we are again. And the local church has felt that if they just water it down a little bit or just kind of conform to the world just a little bit, then we can keep the folks who we got. Well, what has happened, what you compromise to get, you're going to have to compromise to keep. So let's go back and look at this thing called the blessing one more time. Say amen to that. Amen. The Babylonian system is no longer going to call the shots for this world. I said the Babylonian system is no longer going to call the shots for this world. The Bible says you shall know the truth, and what the truth is going to do. This truth is going to make you free. My goodness, my goodness. Now, I want to show you something here. I don't want to. Man, y'all caught me on the right night. The image of God. All right, let's look at this. And all you folks coming in here with them spirits that need to be out there. These spirits of self-exaltation. These spirits of jealousy. You need to get rid of that jealous spirit. That is a spirit. You see, you get up here under this anointing, you can feel all them spirits. You don't need that. You don't need to be jealous of anybody. God's got your path cut out for you. And that's why a lot of these pastors can't grow these ministries. They're trying to keep up with the Joneses, trying to get an airplane because somebody else got one. You might not be ready for an airplane. It's not about that, folks. We did it according to how God gave it to us. We drove what we were able to drive at that time. What kind of car was that we drove at that time? You remember? I won't say the name of it, but it was smoking. You couldn't go across town and it'd smoke you out of there. But we used it to shuttle back and forth until we were eight. Say amen to that. We weren't trying to keep up with anybody.
Amen. That's it.
I had the kind of suits I could afford.
Amen.
I got better now, but I could afford at that time. I wasn't trying to keep up with nobody. You don't need to come in here trying to keep up with nobody.
Amen.
Somebody might have better self than you and so forth. You don't need to go into debt trying to look sharp.
Amen.
So you can come and somebody say how good you look.
Amen.
You need to know how good you look before God. It's not man that you're trying to please. It's God you're trying to please.
Amen.
And we need to stop all of that. I don't know where you get that from. That's the spirit of the world. Going into debt trying to keep up with somebody.
Amen.
So you can look sharp. Somebody look at you and say, ooh, how good you look. And then you turn your back and they say, I can't stand that girl anyway. You don't know they're talking about you. Your first assignment is to be an influence for God in this earth. That's your first assignment. I got to say what needs to be said, because we got to. Entering into a strong man's house, and we're going to take everything he's got. I said, we're taking everything he's got. All right, now, where did I tell you to turn? Didn't tell you. Genesis chapter 1. We can do this, saints. You see, the battle is not ours. The battle is the Lord's. Well, we got to let him fight it. We got to stop trying to pump ourselves up. All right, now, I want to say something before I say this. God has placed the blessing on you. So right there in your notes, say, I have an awesome responsibility. See, he wouldn't give you that if you didn't have an awesome responsibility. Because the blessing is the thing God gave you to govern this earth. All right, look what it says here. This is Genesis. God said, let there be light. And what happened? There was light. Now look at what it says. In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. And the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Underline, the Spirit of God moved. But notice, nothing happened. Why? Because there was no word. The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. What? The word of what? Faith, which we speak. For with the heart man believes, and with the mouth confession is made. It's going down. And he said, let there be light, and there was what? Light. Now, where did light come from? It came from the word. But where did the word come from? It came from God. So before you speak, you need it in your heart. And what your enemy tried to do is put something else in your heart. See? And you have to have the word in your heart. The reason why you get up and confess that word every day is because you're changing the unseen. You're changing something on the inside. And the woman who had the issue of blood, in the Amplified, the Bible says, and she continued to say, if I may touch his what? Clothes, I shall be whole. Notice what she had to do before she touched him. She had to change an image. See, she was changing her world, but she had to change the image first that was unseen. She had to do something inside before something happened outside. And so she kept saying, the Bible says, she continued to say, well, once this word now became fully developed on the inside of her, the word began to speak.
Amen. That's it. Amen.
And that's when she was led through this crowd. I'm talking about she left the house. The house, when you had an issue of blood in that Old Testament, you don't leave the house. You stay in that house, because you leave it, you're going to be stoned. She left because hearing the voice of God is a stronghold of faith. Once you hear his voice, it will make you dare to do the undareable. So once you hear his voice, and once he fills you up, he speaks. The next thing you know, she went out of that house and touched Jesus, and he was walking with a ruler of the synagogue, one who could say, stone her. But notice, once you get faith, you get protected.
Once you get faith, favor kicks in. Are you following what I'm saying? So now, God says, now let us make man. Look at verse 26. After our own image, after our likeness, and let them have what? Dominion. 26. Over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over all the earth, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And he created man in his own image. And in the image of God created him, male and female created him, them. So Adam had God's DNA. Had God's DNA. Verse 28, and God blessed them. And God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, replenish the earth, and do what to it? Subdue it. And have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air. Now, let's just look at this. Because this blessing, Lord have mercy, y'all stay with me now. This blessing is what was needed to resupply the earth. It was never supposed to exist without the blessing. And Adam had it, he and Eve. But in chapter 3, they blew it off. But God's word will not return to him void. So even though they changed their mind, he didn't change his. What he said will come to pass. In Genesis chapter 5, this is the book of the generation, verse 1. This is the book of generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them, and God did what to them? Bless them and call their name what? Adam in the day when they're created. So notice God called him Adam. Adam named Eve, Eve. Let's go on to chapter 6. Look what it said in verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every what? Imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. A natural man can't control his imagination. Not if the devil wants to have him. Look what it says here in chapter 8. In chapter 8, God has picked out a man named Noah. So now he's going to have Noah to build an ark. Question. Did Noah go to school?
No.
I'm talking about ark school. Now, I want you to hear this because we're coming back to something. We're coming back to discerning. And I'm telling you, God taught Adam. Ooh-wee, I can't get into that tonight, but I'm going to chomp down on that the next time I'm telling you. Just remind me of it. I want to talk about that. Now here's Noah. The flood has occurred in chapter 9 of Genesis, and God blessed Noah. Underline blessed. Now we're not talking about God bless you, brother. We ain't talking about that. We're talking about releasing the most powerful force on the earth. And his sons, and said unto them, what? Be fruitful and multiply, keep going, and replenish the earth. Now, where do we hear that? Okay. Now, who did God bless? Noah. And who else? All right, I'm trying to get you somewhere now.
put something right there and go with me over to Galatians chapter 3, where we've been reading every Sunday. Oh, boy. Galatians chapter 3, let me know when you get there by saying, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Now watch this, verse 5. He that ministereth, therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law, by the hearing of faith. Watch this. Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of what?
Faith
are the same as the what?
Children
of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the what to Abraham? Gospel to Abraham. Saying what? In thee shall all what?
Nations
be what? Blessed. Come back over to Genesis chapter 9 again, please. Verse 1. And God blessed Noah and his sons and said unto them, be what? Fruitful and what else? Multiply and replenish the earth. Now, his sons. What happened to his sons? His sons were three people that comprise the three types of groups of people in the earth. Ham went to Africa, the black people. Japheth went to Europe, the Caucasian people. Japheth went to Asia, the Asian people. These were the three people groups which comprise all the nations. So God blessed the nations through them. Y'all with me? Because his plan was for every human to be blessed and have the power to govern the earth, to resupply it, no matter what happened to it. Tear it up if you want to, it'll resupply. Y'all with me? Now, they took it, and this blessing got lost. And so God works through Shem to bring the blessing back through a man named Abraham. He found him. And he picked him because he would teach his kids. Remember I talked about the kids represent the future? So it's Abraham and his seed that are going to be blessed. Now, this blessing was on Abraham. Turn to Genesis chapter 24, please. Lord have mercy. Can I have just a little bit longer here? Genesis chapter 24. Look at verse 1. And Abraham was old. Lord have mercy. And well stricken in age, and the Lord had what him? Bless him. Come on. In all things. Now, what do I mean when I say bless? Bless. Bless means to say something good about or to say something good and by faith empower it to come to pass.
Amen.
All right. We're going to look at Abraham,
But let's look at this. Let's deal with this term here for just a minute. Let's look at it. Let's just look at where Isaac blessed Jacob. Now understand, he wasn't there where Jacob went, but he released what God had on him by faith, and through faith empowered it to come to pass. Let's look at it. Look at Genesis chapter 27, please. This is so good. I just want to shout. I'm just not going to do it. I'm saying something to you. I'm saying the same blessing that was on him is on you. And it's going to manifest this year. Verse 24. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. Now he wasn't Esau. Who was that? Jacob. Who put him up to it? His mama. All right, look what it said in verse 25. And he said, bring it near to me, and I will eat of my son's venison, that my son's soul may bless thee. And he brought it near to him, and he did eat, and he brought him wine, and he drank. And his father Isaac said unto him, come near now, and kiss me, my son. And he came near and kissed him, and the smell of raiment, and he smelled the smell of raiment, and did what to him? Bless him. And said, see, the smell of my son is as the smell of a field which the Lord has blessed. Therefore, God give thee of the what? Dew of heaven and the fatness of the earth and plenty of corn and wine, and let people serve you and nations bow down to you. Be Lord over thy brethren, and let thy mother's son bow down to thee. Cursed be everyone that what? Curses thee, and blessed be everyone that what? Bless thee. Now, once he said that, do you think for a moment he thought it didn't come to pass? Nope. The evidence of that is Esau came in right after that and said, I'm ready for the blessing. He said, I just blessed you. He said, you didn't just bless me. He said, well, who was that I just blessed? He said, it blessed. Well, don't you have another blessing? Nope. See, if he thought he could take it back, then he would have blessed it. And I'm saying you need to get your mouth such that once you release something, the deal is done. The deal is done. Now, let me show you. Put something right there and turn to Deuteronomy chapter 30. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of the word. Deuteronomy chapter 30. Let me know when you get there by saying praise the Lord. All right, look what he said in Deuteronomy chapter 30. And look at verse 19. Verse 19. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you what? Life, keep going. And death, keep going. Blessing, come on. And cursing, therefore what? Choose life. That both you, come on, and your seed may live. So I'm setting it before you. Now I got life before you, and I got what before you? Death before you. I got blessing before you, and I got what? Curse before you. Now you choose. But let me warn you, choose life. Because this is going to work on the other side as well. All right, let's see where the life and death are. Let's go to Proverbs chapter 18. Hey, we got the devil where we want him now. Like that man said, the devil had me hemmed up in a corner. The other man said, get in the roundhouse. He can't trap you up there. He just... All right, look what he said. Look what he said in verse 21. Death, come on, and life, come on, are in the power of the tongue. And they that what? Love it, keep going, shall eat the fruit thereof. Now death and what? Life or blessing and what? Cursing. Let's see where Jesus used the curse. Come on over here to Mark chapter 11, please. Mark chapter 11, the devil is a liar. And his mother-in-law and all them. All right, look what it says here. Verse 12. And on the morrow, when they were come from Bethany, he was hungry. And seeing a fig tree afar off having leaves, he came, happy he might find anything thereon. And he came to it, but he found nothing but leaves, for the time of figs was not yet. And Jesus answered and said to it, no man eat what? Fruit of thee hereafter, come on, forever. And his disciples, what? Heard it. Now he spoke, didn't he? Come on down to verse 19. And when the evening was come, he went out of the city. Verse 20. And in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. Watch this. And Peter, calling to remembrance, said to him, Master, behold the fig tree which you, what? Curse. Keep going. Is withered away. All right, let's stop right there. The supernatural is not always spectacular.
Amen. Amen.
That's where people miss it right there. The supernatural is not always spectacular. Watch this. To the point that you often need discernment to see something that happened. When they pass back through that place, Peter calling to remembrance. Everybody else had passed by. He called, what happened? Discernment. Peter is the same one that said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the... Everybody didn't know. Peter's the same one that said, if you're who you say you are, bid me to come to you right on the water. And got out there. I'm talking about everybody else in the boat. I'm telling you, I believe that a lot of our wealth is passing by us. And I believe that God's people are so tied up in trying to be somebody, lift themselves up, in strife with somebody, envious of somebody else, and they're missing the blessing that's coming by. The supernatural is not always spectacular. I know we got instant miracles, poof, and so forth. But a lot of times they happen so slick until you got to be called to remembrance that you remember this. Whenever you're in trouble, Jesus comes to you. There is no temptation taking you but such as common to man, but God is faithful, who will not let you be tempted, tested, or tried beyond that you were able, but will with the temptation make a way to escape. So you're going to have to get back into a rest and see what God has opened up for you and then go through the door. He cursed it. Now once he did that, I said, whoa. And so how'd you do that? He said, have faith in God. Watch this. Have the God kind of faith. The same faith that created the earth. Whosoever shall say. Come on. Until this what? Impossible situation. Be thou removed. Be thou cast into the sea and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. You don't believe with the head, believe with the heart, that those things that he says gonna come to pass, he gonna have what he say. And Jacob believed, Isaac believed what he said of Jacob was gonna come to pass, to the point that he knew he had given it away. It was a done deal. And if he had come back and Isaac or Esau could have talked him into blessing him, then he wouldn't have believed what he said. Let me show you another one that got cursed. Come on over here with me to Genesis. Now, I'm saying this is to you now. The blessing is on you. What is it on you to do? Fix impossible stuff in the earth. What do you have to start with? Words. You're going to act just like Daddy. You're going to say it and go on about your business. And come back the next day and something going to happen. See, is there any king in you? Is there any royalty in you? Because royalty sits on that throne and you are seated together with him, and speak the word only and my servant shall be healed. Here's another one. Genesis. In Genesis, Lord have mercy, y'all got me preaching hungry. Genesis chapter 30. One. This is how much they believe in their words. I'm telling you now, the image of God has been stolen. That's the thing we got to get back. See yourself just like God sees himself. Acting just like him, operating just like him, just as pure as him, everything else. Look what he said in Genesis chapter 31. Verse 30. I'll start at verse 30. And now, though thou wouldest need to be gone because thou sore longest after thy father's house, yet wherefore have you stolen my gods? This is Laban talking, because Jacob taken both his wives and left. And he said, well, why'd you leave with my gods? What was he using gods for? The enemy uses gods to try to come against God's people and keep them bound. Lord have mercy, I need to teach on that. Verse 31, and Jacob answered and said to Laban, because I was afraid, for I said, peradventure, thou wouldest take by force thy daughters from me. With whomsoever thou findest thy God, let him not live. Lord have mercy. Now look at Genesis 35 and look at verse 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath, and Rachel travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass when she was in hard labor that the midwife said to her, fear not, thou shalt have this son also. And it came to pass as her soul was departing, for she what? Died. And she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. Now, Benoni means son of my sorrow, but the father renamed him Benjamin. It means the son of the right hand. So Rachel died and was buried. What do you think one of the things that might have contributed to the curse of death coming in her life? What was spoken? What was spoken? And I think people think, oh, God said, hey, well, you mean somebody can curse me? Well, let's show that. Turn to Numbers chapter 23, please. Numbers chapter 23. Let me show you one more thing and I'm gonna let you out. Praise God. Numbers chapter 23. Let me know when you get there. Well, Numbers chapter 22 is when the man tried to get Balaam to come over and curse Israel. And look what God said about cursing Israel. Verse 23. Verse 23 of chapter 23. Surely there is no what? Enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. In other words, you can't curse my people. You can't curse my people. All right, last place. I'll show you this. Let's go over here to Genesis and Genesis. Genesis chapter. Can I show you one more thing? Come on now. I know my clock is completely out. Wow. Okay, all right, y'all got time. Okay, this. All right, let's go to Genesis chapter 47, please. Genesis 47. See, Satan knows you have this authority. He doesn't want you to know it. Say, I'm blessed.
I'm blessed.
Say, I can speak the word only.
I can speak the word only.
All right. Watch this. Now I'm gonna challenge you now. So don't choke on me. So here is Joseph bringing his dad down to Egypt, and he met Pharaoh. Verse 7. And Joseph brought Jacob, his father, and set him before Pharaoh, and Jacob blessed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh said to Jacob, "How old are you?" And Jacob said to Pharaoh, "The days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have the days of my years of my life been, and have not attained unto the days and years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage." His fathers. How old was his father? All right, wait now. I want you to look this up because I don't want to have no mess. Turn to Genesis chapter 25. Genesis chapter 25. See, I told you, only thing you got to do to defeat Satan is keep him in the book. Let me know when you get to Genesis chapter 25. This is Abraham, his grandfather. Look at verse 8. And Abraham gave up the ghost and died in a good old age, an old man full of years, and was gathered to his people. And look at verse 7. And these are the days of the years of Abraham's life, which he lived how long? 103 years. I tell you how old it is. 175. All right, let's go and see how old Jacob's daddy was. Let's go to Genesis chapter 35. Genesis chapter 35. Let me know when you get there. All right, Genesis chapter 35, and look at verse 35, and look at verse 28. You with me? Verse 28. And the days of Isaac were what? 104 years. And Isaac gave up the ghost and died and was gathered to his people, being old and full of days. His son Esau and Jacob buried him. Now, how old was he? 180. Now, come back to Genesis chapter 47 and look how old Jacob was. Verse 9. The years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Watch this. Few and evil have the days of the years of my life been. Underline few. Can't you get it? Few. He's calling 130 a few. You got it? Now, what made the difference between him and Abraham, his grandfather? I read you the scripture in Genesis 24 and verse 1. And Abraham was blessed in all things. Notice, Abraham kept the blessing in his life. And the power of the blessing is to perpetually renew and supply. Amen. Folks, we are not supposed to be dying at 70, 80, and 90 years. Amen. Folks, we supposed to be right there in the midlife. Amen. Man, we supposed to be running marathons. Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me tell you where the problem is. Turn to James chapter 3 and we quit. The problem is in words. It has formed images. And the images have formed. Let me tell you, folks, how old was Moses when he died? Anybody remember? That's Deuteronomy chapter 34. He was 120 years old when he died. What's the condition of him? His eyes were not dim. Neither, come on,
His natural forces abated. Now, you can do with that what you want to do with it. What am I saying? God told him, go up on Mount Abram and give up the ghost. He told him to go die. You have finished your work, Moses. I let you see the promised land and catch a glimpse of it. Now go up there and give up the ghost. And Moses obeyed God. And Moses was one of the ones that when Jesus went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses was standing right there. Praise God. Folks, this thing is supernatural. But the supernatural is not always spectacular. God can renew your cells over and over again if you'll speak life to it. Speak life to it, man. Your youth is renewed like the eagles. Don't let no doctor tell you, well, you're getting older, see, and that happens to you when you're getting older. Those things break down, your kidney quit, you know, your hair fall out and so forth. No, no, doc, I know you've been trained by the best schools in the nation, but I'm a child of the living God. I'm under the blessing of Abraham. That's all I got. Give the Lord a praise. I'm going to quit right here. Hey! We got the devil where we want him now. No, no. That's why retirement is not in that Bible. Folks, if you condition your mind to 70 years old, this breaks, this comes, diabetes takes over, nursing home, it doesn't make any difference. Where you stay is fine, but just don't believe like they believe. He might have sent you to that nursing home to bring everybody back to life. Say, hey, I'm in here to save everybody. Praise God.
Amen.
Folks, keep Satan in the book and he is whipped. His job is to talk you into death. God says, I've set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Choose life. Isn't that good? Amen. Now, your mind is not the same that it was before you got saved. You just think it is. Some people do. No, 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 no. The enemy's trying to keep you in your old mind. You got the mind of Christ now. Watch this, I'm gonna show you. The mind of Christ is the same mind God had when he created all of this. You're supposed to be 10 times better right now. Now, wait a minute. Don't think, well, I came from a dumb family. That's all right. You were born into another family.
Amen.
You got what I'm saying? Okay. Give the Lord a praise for it. All right. If you're hearing God spoken to your heart about being born again, this is a good reason to be born again right now. So this blessing can come on your life. Say amen to that. All right. So if you're here, you need to be renewed.